Well, our next guest is a very, very private school educated there, the Great LaSalle College High School alum. So I'm sure that he was pretty close to magna cum laude or even summa. He covers the Eagles for ESPN.com, and he is brought to us by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum, over two decades helping our community. Timmy summa cum laude is joining us. What's up, Tim?
Not even close. Not even close.
Come on, Timmy. He wasn't at that haughty private school.
I went there. It doesn't mean I dominated there.
Let's talk about the Eagles and their. First of all, the major issue is: are they going to add a running back? Who is it? There's a lot of options out there. Even though Doug Peterson said today he's okay with who he has, which we know is a lie. So, what's realistic here?
Well, I think the one thing that you have to kind of acknowledge is that there's time between now and the trade deadline, which is October 30th. So, essentially, you have 3 weeks, if you want it, to kind of examine the state of affairs and see if what you need and how badly you need it. If you feel like you can get to that point without being kind of out of the race by then. So, and it could work to their advantage to wait. The name that is rattling around recently is LeSean McCoy, with reports that they are checking in on his status. And certainly, I think that Howie Roseman is checking under a lot of rocks and trying to figure out who is available or not. But a case like McCoy is perfect as it comes to, you know, the time ahead of them and the trade deadline, because right now the Bills are 2-3. They're still in it. And when I was checking into it, the response that came back to me was, you know, McCoy is their best player. So would they really be willing to give up on him? But if Buffalo goes on a little losing stretch here and he's 30 and it's pretty clear that they're not going to compete, maybe that price goes down and maybe the Eagles can pull something out. So, you know, my read on it right now is there's nothing imminent, but that doesn't mean that something isn't going to happen. I think that Roseman is looking at running backs. I think he's looking at receivers. I think he's looking at defensive backs. And if something makes sense, he's going to make a move or moves before that trade deadline.
See, my thing is, you can't wait. And, you know, they need somebody right now. You can't. They're kidding themselves to thinking that they're okay, because we know, like, Clement's all banged up now, and it's just a matter of time before, like, he's going to be in and out. Josh Adams is just too green. And Smallwood, occasionally he plays and sometimes he gets lost. So you need to strike now, in my opinion. Now, I don't know how you feel about that, but they're not the same. They just don't have it, the pizzazz that they used to have, and they need an injection of that right now.
Yeah, I would say that certainly wouldn't hurt if you could bring in some talent. There's no question about that. But I don't know that, you know, Peterson has done right by that ground game in his own respect. I mean, Carson Wentz, since he's come back in the lineup, Mike, has been averaging 41 dropbacks per game. He's gotten hit 27 times, and he's been sacked 12. It's an average of 4 sacks a game. And, you know, a balanced offense was something that was absolutely a strength of this team last year. I think that they've become a little bit one-dimensional. And I think that, you know, that these backs can be leaned on a little bit more than they have been. And I think that the ones here are not the greatest in the world, but I think pretty highly of Corey Clement. I think that if you give him a chance when healthy, that he can do some things for you. And Smallwood has been kind of a nice surprise for them. So, while yes, I think that it's a need, I don't think it's necessarily as desperate as you're saying it is. And I think that Peterson could do well by this offense overall if he would, you know, run them out there a little bit more and test them a little bit more and feed the beast a little bit more.
All right. The Carson Wentz thing is there's two sides to this. You know, some people will say he's holding on to the ball too long, including his left tackle. And then there are stories that you read where he's getting rid of the ball almost identical to how he got rid of it last year. So what's the real story when it comes to Carson Wentz? What's happening that's making the offense as more inefficient than last year?
So the numbers back up the fact that Wentz isn't holding on to it too long. He ranks 14th in the NFL in time before throw. And if you look at what Foles was doing, he was actually holding on to it longer. He was holding on to it the fourth longest out of any quarterback in the NFL during the time that he was in there. So Jason Peters' theory, when you actually look at the numbers, actually doesn't hold water. But there's definitely truth to there being instances where Wentz should be checking down or getting rid of it, where he's holding on to it too long. He's trying to take a home run where it's clear he should be doing a single or a double. And that's something that does fall on the quarterback's shoulders. But I think that, one, he's been being put in a little bit of a precarious position by Peterson. You're talking about a franchise quarterback coming off of a multi-ligament major knee surgery, and he's being asked to drop back over 40 times per game. That's on the coach. And I think that it would be a lot easier for Wentz to operate if he wasn't being asked to do so much heavy lifting so early. I mean, people throwing that much on his shoulders, given the circumstances, I mean, he shouldn't even be back right now. But he worked his ass off. He got there. He's operating at a really high level, but now he's getting pounded every time he drops back, seemingly. So that goes on the offensive line, and that goes on Doug Peterson. And I would say the second thing is I think that defenses have caught up to the Eagles a little bit, and particularly the RPO. You know, they found some successful ways to defend that. It's taken away a lot of the bread and butter that the Eagles have been doing on offense, and they have to figure out counter moves to that so they can get back up and running.
I kind of agree with that, and I thought that would happen. Let's talk about the offensive line and what's going on there and why they aren't as good. Are guys just banged up, or are guys on a Super Bowl glide? What's the situation in the left guard where Wisniewski's saying, I'm playing well, why did I come out? Seems a little dissent. Like, what's going on there?
Yeah, Trey Thomas's theory, I think, is the best one with that, is that the harmony between Jason Peters and Wisniewski was not great, and that, maybe there's a better pairing between him and, say, Amalu. Because if you just look purely on performance, it doesn't seem like that Wisniewski was so far off that he should be the one being pulled. I mean, everybody, certainly has their hand in this and has not played up to par. But I think that offensive line in general is great kind of a microcosm for what's going on with this team. And I think if you zero in on Lane Johnson, it tells the story better, because, the guy that he gave the sack up to last week, Weatherly, right? He had one career sack in three seasons going into that game. Okay. So not somebody that Lane Johnson can't handle. He went up against the best of the best last year and he stoned them all. And this year, he's given up one strip sack after the next. And he's not performing at the same level. And I think that's a great way to look at this team, is that the roster is pretty much the same. You can even argue they've upgraded in some spaces, and they're not performing in the same way. And so people argue hangover, no hangover. I say yes. I think there is a hangover, man. I think that, a lot of these guys aren't playing up to their potential. And that has to do with, I think, a long season, mental fatigue, trying to get back on track, all those things, I think, has factored into the 2-3 start of the season.
But let's go back to something you said, which my eyebrows raised a little bit. Are we saying that Jason Peters wanted Wisniewski out? And if that's the case, is that a coach in control of his team?
Well, I don't know that for a fact, that Peters wanted Wiz out. But I think that Thomas, I think that Trey Thomas's theory that, the chemistry wasn't quite right between him and Wisniewski, and they're more comfortable with say Amalu and Peters, makes the most sense, because just looking at it from a performance perspective, you wouldn't say, oh man, Wiz is playing bad. It's just not, that's not really what the tape says. So I don't know that Peters is like Bart, saying this is what you have to do or anything like that. I'm certainly not reporting that, but yeah. I think the chemistry theory is a pretty good one.
Yeah, if the guy's playing good, I don't know what that chemistry thing means, because they didn't play well with Samalo. All right, let's look at the defensive line and the problems they're having right now there. Why aren't they getting as much pressure on the quarterback, and what should Schwartz change up here?
It's a tough one. I think that the defensive line overall hasn't played that poorly. I mean, you look at the overall numbers, and been down for Brandon Graham, and Michael Bennett got his first sack, two weeks ago, and the numbers could definitely be higher. But my eyes go more to the secondary than they do the defensive front. I think that Fletcher Cox has been disruptive. I think that overall they've been generating pressure, and I think that if the cornerbacks in particular were playing better, then you probably wouldn't even be having this conversation that the sacks would be getting there, that the defensive line would be getting home. I just really feel like the performance of the DBs has fallen off pretty sharply from a year ago. I mean, Patrick Robinson leaving, you know, that's one thing that was a concern going in. What are they going to do at slot corner? Roddy McLeod getting hurt, that hurts you on the back end. And then, you know, Jalen Mills has been one of the surprises for me because I thought that he had a strong 2017. I thought a really good summer. And then all of a sudden he's not making the same type of plays or able to stay with receivers like he did last year. Even if you want to say that he's always had trouble with recovery speed, I think that's true. But I don't think that he was playing at this rate last year. Something's off with him. So I look more at the DBs than I do the D line.
All right. So are there any changes in store, or are they going to this game Thursday with the same lineup back there?
I think it's going to be the same lineup. You know, they moved Avante Maddox into a starting safety role, which is really bad. He's never played safety in his life. All of a sudden, he's back there. He's the starter now next to Malcolm Jenkins. And I think that they're looking, you know, they'd be open to maybe acquiring a DB. But I think for this week, because it's a short week, I don't think you're going to be making any major changes off that Minnesota game.
All right. Last thing, how are you feeling about this game? I didn't even think it was a possibility of a loss. But I see now I'm not sure of anything anymore. So how are you feeling?
I feel the same way. I mean, I don't know that you can look at it confidently at this point and say, yeah, they're absolutely going to go in and roll. That's how you felt about it a few weeks ago, sure. But if you look at Odell Beckham, and can they stop him? I mean, can those DBs stop Odell? And, you know, how are they going to handle Saquon Barkley out of the backfield? I mean, those are, you know, two things that are certainly going on in my mind. I mean, it's a 1-4 squad. It's not like they're gangbusters or anything. So I think I'm predicting the Eagles, and I'm thinking that they're going to rise to the occasion, but obviously given their shaky start, nothing seems very certain at this point.
All right, we'll see. Tim, good stuff. We'll talk to you.
All right, brother. See you, Mike.
Yes, Tim McManus, brought to us by Rosenbaum Injury Law.